So I'm trying to wait, make sure Everett's in, we're in sync here. Okay. I'm assuming I can go. So, yeah, you can hear me. So, okay. Well, let's just, are we ready? Okay. Thank you, Everett. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness. We do thank you for the beauty of this time of the year, your creative hand. We praise you for the color that you have made, and that you have created us, and it's not just in black and white, but it is in the beauty of your display of your glory and in the excellence of color. And Father, we thank you that we have a Savior. Thank you that he has paid the price for our salvation. We thank you that we have come to put our faith in him. We do pray for many who are struggling, many who are lost, many family members who are not sure where they're at. We just pray that you will do a great work in this season in their lives. And we pray also, we know there are many health issues going on, and pray that you will just comfort and protect and sustain and bring recovery. We just ask that, Father, in your timing, in your best. And so, Father, we also pray that you'll guide us in our thoughts. They might be consistent with your word and your will, that you'll just work in our hearts and our midst. May it be to your glory and for our profit. In Christ's name, amen. You know, it's kind of funny how things come to mind, but I was thinking about several things that kind of connected. But before we left years ago, we left Dodge City, Kansas, which seems like a forever now. But before we left, my parents lived about an hour and a half away, and they found it very hard for us to leave. And we obviously we found that hard too, but we were on our way to Nova Scotia, and of course we never realized that we would never return. But anyway, but before we left, we sat down with Mom and Dad, and we had somebody loaned us a camera. This is the olden days, a camera where you could interview them, and then have that on the DVD. And so that was, you know, real precious to us, because first of all, after we moved, it was about just a little over half a year and Dad passed away. It was total shock, because we didn't know there was anything wrong at that point. But one of the sad things is after our move to Nova Scotia and then our move to here, I cannot find that DVD. I cannot find it. I have looked and looked and looked. I don't know what happened to it, but it's a big loss. You know, you just think, oh, I would just love to be able to, and just to see them, hear them talk, because we just ask them questions. And so maybe someday the Lord will allow me to find it, but I've looked about as many places as I can think to look. I don't know if I got lost in the shuffle between here and there, but anyway. But I was thinking about it. Now that seems like a stretch in some sense. But how many things have we lost or missed because we haven't spent as much time in God's Word to listen to what He has to tell us? Just to be able to think, oh, what about this issue, or what about that struggle? And as we go through life, we know we have all kinds of different issues, and there are biblical principles that plug in to every situation that we face in life. And just, we don't want to, when we get to the end of our journey, whenever that is, we don't want to look back and say, oh, if only I would have listened to what God had to say about this issue or about this situation, that would have prepared me for this time. And so we're going to continue to look. And I know I'm speaking to those who already believe this, but I want to just enhance this, because really our goal is to talk about the trustworthiness of the Scriptures and then move in, Lord willing, a little bit later on down the road, exploring and studying the scriptures. So we're kind of moving toward that. But right now I want to go back to a passage or to a section in that we started in Psalm 19. This is such a beautiful psalm, and I was just thinking about it. I didn't want to just touch it and then move on too quickly. Because in Psalm 19, we pick up where we left off the last time. And is the sound coming across? My ears are still really plugged, and so I have a hard time knowing. Oh, no, that's okay. That's fine. As long as I'm not blowing you away, that's the other side of it. I just can't really tell sometimes. Are you all right then? Okay. So this is a beautiful, beautiful section of Scripture. We talked about the general revelation in God's creation, and then we started to talk about God's specific or special revelation that we have in His Word. So I'm going to just, for a little bit of context, because the general revelation is in the first part, and then in 7, it starts out with special revelation or God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, and we've already talked about this, but it's perfect. And I want to come back to this concept just again and again, because it highlights God's Word is without error. The original writings are inerrant, and we mentioned that, we talked about that. Restoring the soul. Isn't it wonderful how God's Word is so relevant to where our life is? We need to be restored. We need initially to be saved, but we constantly need to be refreshed and restored. And the Word of God does that for us. It's the nutrition for our souls. And then we say, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And again, the law of the Lord is perfect, and now it is sure. It is sure, making wise the simple. And we all start out simple, right? That's just the way it is when you're little and you're coming along. You start out, you don't know much, right? You're just beginning. Just our little granddaughter, you know, we enjoy her so much, but she's just beginning to grasp things, just the beginning to grasp things. And but the Word of God can take us from simple to mature. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And we already said that. But notice again, the Word is perfect, it is sure, it is right. And then it rejoices the heart. We did already address that. But think of how much sadness is in our world. We know we live in a sin-ridden world, but the Word of God can give us joy. Doesn't mean it's going to be flippant joy or just always fun joy, but there can be a deep joy through God's Word because it's God's Word. And His love for us is immense, and His Word for us is essential to know how to work through life. And when we find ourselves in seasons, which we all have times that are harder than others, and sometimes we get down, and we understand that. But the Word of God is that which can lift us back up. It can bring us back to a sense of joy, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, that's where I want to begin tonight. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Now, and the very first thing I want to highlight is that the commandment of the Lord is authoritative. It is a command. The Word of God is not just suggestions. It is authoritative. It is a command. He gives commands because He knows what is best for us and what is consistent with His excellence. And therefore, the commandments are pure. They're flawless. And again, the importance of us being able to trust the Word of God as without error. The words of the Lord are pure, pure. How wonderful that is. I'm just going to move over to Psalm 12:6 just to highlight this a little bit more. The same concept, but it just restates it in Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. And then it highlights this. As silver tried in a furnace, on the earth refined seven times. Now I'm assuming, and I don't know how they actually did that in their time, but you can imagine, if silver is being refined, you know, you might refine it, put it in the furnace once, and then you get rid of the worst of the extra stuff that's not silver, and then you put it in a second time. Obviously, what they're trying to imply, what the Word of God is showing us here, is that the Word of God is perfectly refined seven times. I mean, it's a picture. There's no dross. There's no slag. There's nothing that's meaningless or worthless. It's absolutely pure, and it's tried. It's as if silver being refined to the perfection. And for application to us, it enlightens our eyes in the right way to go. Because the words are true, they're perfect, they're pure. We will not trip up if we follow God's word. And of course, as even in our time of prayer, we all know, and we talked about just a tad bit as we were praying for some people, but we all know people who, let's say, we know they went to Sunday school and they heard the word, right? And some of those little ones trusted Christ the best we understand or know, but as they've gotten older, they've kind of walked away, and then they get in crisis, and then things happen, and then, you know, it's amazing where life can go that does not follow the path of God's word. It breaks our heart. We don't know exactly where they're at spiritually. Ultimately, the Lord knows. But a life that derails from God's word is not going to go in any zone that's either pleasing to the Lord or beneficial to us. And again, our heart aches for those we love that have taken another path. But the words of the Lord are pure. Now, and then this, going back to our passage in Psalm 19, we read these words, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." So he's associating, as we're in the word, one thing that happens is we have reverence for the Lord because we realize how awesome he is. There's a fear of the Lord, a reverence for the Lord. Because we take, and I still remember this definition. I think it was Charles Swindoll. I'm pretty sure he's one. Fear of the Lord, his definition is taking God seriously. And I always thought that was a nice, simple explanation. When we fear the Lord, we take him seriously. And, of course, we can also use the word we reverence him. We reverence him. In our hearts, we bow before him. Because we know ultimately we're going to stand before him. You know, I think a lot of times when people are going through life and, you know, something's happened, maybe someone has done something terrible to them, or maybe they've been in some kind of big mess, and they focus only on that event, but they don't remember, maybe they don't even know, that's not the final event. Let's say somebody has done you really, really wrong. That's not the final event. The final event, let's say somebody's done you wrong and you, both are going to stand before the Lord, right? We're all going to stand. So we want to respond now in a way that reverences him, knowing that one day we're going to stand before him. So the Word of God reminds us of who he is, how awesome he is. And we know the fear of the Lord is balanced by the love of the Lord, but still both are true. You cannot remove. And of course, in our culture, even in our Christian culture, sometimes we just talk about God's love, but we cannot forget God's reverence, God's holiness. And so this reminds us, the Word of God reminds us that we are to take the Lord seriously and respond to him faithfully, because we're going to be accountable before him. Now notice, and I think this is a caption that goes with all of the facts about the Word of God, but the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Enduring forever. I think that's so encouraging. God's word will not change. Now we know as God, as we go through, I was thinking of dispensational truth. There's, you know, God, God has, he responds to certain, in certain frames, he'll respond to, like the Jewish people, there's under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, there's truth there. We go into grace, in the New Testament, we're under grace, but God is still the same. God is still the same. Now, he deals with different groups at different ways in different times. That's true. But God does not change. His character does not change. And he expresses it a little different at different seasons because he's trying to teach different lessons through the period of history. And lessons about man and our need of him, and lessons about himself. But the Word of God endures forever. And that shows us that God is not going to allow men to erase his book. You know, as we saw in that DVD, and I was previewing another one, but one man is quoted quite a bit, and I remember someone talking about him in the past and other situations, but he was trained by a fairly conservative mentor, but he became a very liberal teacher. And I was just listening to what yesterday, I guess, as I did, viewed this, and I thought, man, it's just like the Word of God is almost meaningless to him. It's like it's just been a bunch of, you know, jargon that God, you know, wasn't in control of at all. I mean, I thought that is so contradictory to what this passage says. God's Word endures forever. And so, you know, some little human being is not going to jostle that because God sovereignly overlooks and cares for his book. But anyway, I just think that is so encouraging. It endures forever. It does not change. I remember when you're in university or in any kind of training course, they always have a new book to sell you. You know, every semester, they always got a new book. You know, last year they had edition 35. This year they have edition 36. You know, and it's like you always have a new edition, and it may not be just because the professor might want to sell another book. But anyway, whatever it is, it's always change. It's always in motion. And what was really valid maybe 10 years ago, let's say in science, 10 years later is just almost like, what were you thinking? That was so out of it, right? But as we move through, God's Word is not like that. It endures forever. And then, and Psalm 19 is, they kind of go hand in hand with Psalms 119, as I'm sure you're well aware, but I want to read this passage, Psalms 119:89, and it says this, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It is settled in heaven. Again, it endures forever. It is settled in heaven. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." And then this is a passage I'm sure we all remember, but I want to read it just because it's a beautiful picture. Isaiah 48, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." Isn't that just encouraging? That is so encouraging. The Word of God stands forever. And the things of this world will fade and wither, but God's Word stands. The judgments, now back to our passage in 19 verse 9. "The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." The judgments of the Lord. Now, as one has stated, the judgments of God are decisions relating to human situations. So, God's judgments or his verdicts about us are righteous and they're fair, they're just. And I think when we, you know, I'm sure all of your kids said, you know, at their certain age, "That's not fair." Remember that, "For that's not fair," right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we want to say that to God. "God, that's not fair. That's not fair." But God's judgments are fair. They're righteous. They're just. And we just say, and I think that's a wonderful thing about, I think sometimes of the things, the terrible atrocities that happen in our world, And one of the things that I find so comforting is that God is just, and His word is just, and He will bring about justice for those who, it appears, got away with it. You know, think of all the people that have done something to somebody else and it appears they got away scot-free, or maybe they got off on a technicality or whatever. But God's ways and God's justice will come about because it's based on who God is, and the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. And God will deal with things, and His word, when it judges us, and I think this is another side of it, we don't always really, a lot of times we're just not very excited about when God is convicting us. Now think of a time, and we're not going to share, right? But think of a time you're really convicted by something, and you know, you read the scriptures, maybe it was in your devotional time, or maybe somebody was teaching on something, and the Spirit of God just kind of drove home a stake in your heart on that particular issue, and you know, really you are uncomfortable or frustrated, and you don't want to hear it. But God does that because He loves us. He's not trying to drive us into the ground. He's trying to draw us back to Him. And so we need to remember that God is just, His judgments are true, and it's always for our best. It's always for our best. And but I think this is encouraging for us when we're going through, and especially when we're convicted by something. God's judgment, His word is true, and it's always for our best. It's always for our best. Now, again, going to back to Psalm 19:10, we read these words. Again, God's word. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. They are more desirable than gold. Now, quite frankly, let's just say we had a bag of gold here, right? Had a bag of gold, and it was genuine, which we don't, obviously, right? But then we had our Bible over here. Which would you pick? Say, well, I got a Bible at home. I'll take the bag, right? But isn't it interesting? If in the world in which we live, and I was thinking about, not to have a guilt trip or anything, but isn't it interesting how many times Bibles get put on some kind of shelf and you don't even know who they belong to and nobody ever comes back for it? Isn't it interesting? But a lot of times Christians can put a Bible, spiritually, emotionally, put the Bible on the shelf and they don't go back to it. But if we had, say, if you come this Sunday, you get a bag of gold. This place would be busting at the seams, right? But if we say, well, we're going to have another preacher this Sunday talk from the Bible, well, I don't know. I'll go on the bag of gold Sunday, right? So God is saying, if we think thoughts consistent with His truth, we will realize what a treasure we have in God's word. And again, I'll just read this. This is, again, another passage from Psalm 119. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. We are so privileged, aren't we? I mean, we are spoiled in our land. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that we live in our land where we can have a Bible still, right? But what a such a privilege that we have. But it's far more valuable than gold. Think of all the people that have had extreme wealth and have died in extremely sad situations. I mean, you think, how could you have all that money, have all those cars, have that big, big house, all those, you know, famous whatever, and life ended like that? So what God says is, no. It's not wrong to have money, obviously, but it shouldn't have us. And we should realize that God's word is far more valuable than the possessions that we have. I have not watched this series, And maybe some of you have the Oak Island Mystery. Have you watched that? Has anybody watched that? Anyway, I don't know where it's at. It's always going on. Somebody was talking about when I was in Nova Scotia. And, of course, Chris and I, our youngest son, went there one time. We were going to look around, but the whole thing was closed off that particular time. So I never got to do any exploring. But think of all the people that, you know, this is a major, I mean, it's a TV show. Oak Island in Nova Scotia, and there's supposed to be buried treasure, and the more they dig, the more mystery there is. Think of all the money and people who lost their lives trying to find some kind of treasure there. But we have something far more valuable, and you don't have to go to Oak Island. But to realize that we have a treasure in God's truth. What a wonderful, wonderful thing we have. I was thinking about this, and I'll close because I see the time. I was thinking about this. I need to make sure that God's word is a treasure in my heart. But I was thinking about this today because our little granddaughter was at our house. And after she left, and of course, we usually try to read something, you know, a Bible story or something. But I thought, am I communicating to my granddaughter that God's word is a treasure, that it's valuable, that it's precious? Now, how we relate to children, grandchildren, it's always going to look a little different. But you know, I thought, you know, I need to communicate in some way, not to have a sermon, but in some way, God's book is precious. Because I want this little heart and life to realize that God's word is a treasure for my whole life. And may God just help us. I think there's probably been a lot of times in my life where I have not communicated that as well as I should have. And may we, as I've said many, many times, may we be a place that treasures God's word and teaches God's word. So let's just pray. God, we pray that first and foremost, we will treasure your precious truth, that it will mean so much to us. And as we grow older, it will become even more important. And Father, help us love it because we love you, and then express that we have a love for your word to those that we influence, that we're around, that they too might realize that your book is the book they need because it is more precious than anything else that they could have. So just help us in this area, God. And we pray that we will treat it as a treasure and we'll teach it as your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.